Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're keeping calm. We're staying local. I've even managed to find a razor here and sort of shave up so I'm a little more impressive for the arts community. Don Moeller, my partner in crime, and of course, former Baltimore County executive and my one-time 1982 guidance counselor at Dundalk High School, doing all things Baltimore Positive from his place and our place and their place. And Don, I want to make sure we're resetting as we're doing this, not just all of our sponsors at State Fair and those crab cakes from Fadley's that you got that I don't have that I now need to order so I can have them as well, and as well as Moeller and Gary Realty. But this whole arts week that we've tried to put together here, I've kind of kidded around with everybody and saying, you think we're PR, I think we're hard news. Somewhere in the middle, we both love Baltimore so much. And with everything shut down, it's not that we've shut down our political game or we've shut down our thoughts about the mayor, but we are really trying to focus here in this period of April and May of all of these things that are so important and fundamental to Baltimore and things that we need to keep alive and then revive when all of this is over with. And this is a little bit of your brainchild, but I also know you want to thank Fronda Cohen as well.
Absolutely. You and I usually executive produce these segments, but for the art segments, we reached out to a good friend of mine, Fronda Cohen, who is well known to Ron and everyone in the arts and cultural institutions in Baltimore City, former communications specialist in Baltimore County government, and really was our go-to person for the arts. So we can't thank Fronda enough. And our guest, Ron Legler from the Hippodrome. And Ron, did we ever think we'd be sitting around in a pandemic with no shows to come and see?
No, actually, you know, it's something unprecedented for, industry, but the world. We were riding this wonderful high with so much wonderful product coming from Broadway, Hamilton and Wicked and Lion King. You know, it was the success of the Hippodrome. We were actually sold out on subscription, so we had no seats for the general public for almost 2 years. So we were riding this wonderful wave and like the bottom dropping out. It's where we've landed, far, far away from where we were, for sure.
Well, Ron, I want to make a full admission here, because every time I've had somebody on, I have an experience. I'm a Baltimorean. I've lived here my whole life. I'll be 52 this year. You know, we've all had an experience somewhere. My wife and I, the week before COVID, so I can even find the date in my calendar, because it was one of the last. It was like literally one of our last date nights before things got shut down. We came and saw Wicked, and she hit the lottery, and we got the cheaper tickets, and it was a weeknight show. And I'm going to full admission, I had never seen a Broadway show at the Hippodrome. Now, I've seen a bunch of rock concerts, a bunch of stick show, you know, stuff like that. I come over all the time. I've been there for events with Gary Williams and other things. But an actual Broadway show at the Hippodrome, I had never seen. Seen a lot of them.
Brian, what's wrong with this boy? What can we say?
I'm throwing myself.
I don't know if our marketing's not reaching the right people or how it's going.
No.
I'm really glad that your wife.
Well, you're sold out a lot. I mean, Book of Mormon was one of those things that was a real commitment. You know what I'm saying? But we came over. We had a great night. And the next thing I know, everything shut down. And I threw myself on the mercy of the audience. I tweeted about it, Facebooked about it. Moeller, you know, came and beat me up on the radio. And he texted me, being mad at me. And I said, "Can't be mad at me. I'm over here at the Hippodrome. I'm having a great night out, you know?"
Well, you know, the one thing that makes the Hippodrome unique in the state of Maryland is that it does national touring Broadway. So we're the only theater in the whole state that's able to do these big national tours. So Broadway is our heart. It's what you know, brought us back to life. We're about 16 years old, but actually 106 years old. The building was done originally in 1914 as a vaudeville house, and then moved into movies. So we have a, you know, 100-year history of just making sure audiences have a wonderful time and give them different experiences. And with each show, with each title, whether it's Wicked or Come From Away or Les Mis, everyone offers a little bit different experience. And I'm not saying there's shows for everyone. I'm not saying every show's for every person. So you're going to like some more than others. But we're glad that you came and got the experience of the Hippodrome. So we appreciate
Ron,
you coming.
I love that point that you make. And we always say in Baltimore Positive, we never go in a straight line. But it's great to talk to you, because you're such a theater lover. You've been here now about 6 years, right? I think you came around 2014.
Yes, 6 years, 2014. So, it'll be 6 years, May 1.
Wow, so maybe we'll have you talk a little bit about that journey as well. But I want to pick up on what you just said, is that not every show is for everyone. And I think you and I talked, certainly when you visited in the county, and I think about it often, is that I love, as Nestor knows, I love the theater. I particularly love musicals. I said my wife, I told you one time, I said my wife finally had to cut me off from Chorus Line. She said, you just can't go see Chorus Line one more.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh my, I don't think it's possible to see Chorus Line too many times, but evidently she did. So I love it. And Ron, I need you to talk about this piece, because we are both perplexed. We are probably the only two people on the face of the earth that do not like Wicked. And I can't...
My wife loved Wicked. My wife loved it.
It bothers me that I don't like it, because all of my theater friends love it. We love the theater, and my wife and I keep saying, what is wrong with us that we don't like Wicked? So explain it to me. Be my counselor here.
I have to tell you, like, I'm not sure, because that Stephen Schwartz songbook is just so amazing. You know, the story about what happens before Dorothy lands in Oz, you know, just the twist that happens in that. I mean, obviously, it's a beloved movie. It's really hard to, you know, wrap your head around trying to do Wizard of Oz, but I thought Wicked just brought a little bit more to that story, made you think about something that you might not have thought about before. And honestly, when you're in a community theater like the Hippodrome, and the community's in there with you, and you share this experience together, like, you know, learning something new that you didn't know about Wizard of Oz, and thinking maybe that your brain can think a little differently than it used to think just because of the movie, I think that's what our job is to kind of just put you out there and let your brain, you know, in a community setting with people, with strangers, but come together and learn something that you might not have known, or your brain might think differently about something the next time you think about it. That's what our job is. You know, we're going to tell this story about a story that you didn't know, and there's a twist to it that might help you think about that story from the movie. So, I don't know, Wicked to me, you know, I always look at these big national tours that do so successful, and to me, that is just job security. As well as something that I really love. So, you know, we were having these wonderful years of like Wicked, The Lion King, you know, and then obviously Hamilton just knocking it off the shelf, you know, like things that we've never seen before, selling out in record time, full audiences for the whole 4 weeks. So
I thought, you know, the performance, as I told you, Ron, I told you this before, I thought the performance that I saw of Jersey Boys at the Hippodrome was actually superior to the one I saw on Broadway. They're obviously both great, but I thought the cast that came to Baltimore and that touring company for Jersey Boys was better than the cast I saw on Broadway. I mean, that's the caliber of the show at the Hippodrome.
Well, you know, we only do national touring shows, so a lot of the, when they build those shows like Jersey Boys and Wicked, they're building a national tour. They're getting it ready. They do all their auditioning out of New York. And you only get a 6-month contract when you're on the road. In Broadway, you get a year contract. So you've got to stay really good if you want to get that next contract. You've got to stay fresh. You've got to really, you know, every week you're getting a new person that's coming in to critique you, and you're going to be written up in the paper from every city across America, where in New York, you know, you get it once and then you kind of fall into the routine. So I think the tours have got to stay fresh. They've got to stay you know, really powerful, and put that message out every week to a whole different audience from all around the country. So, you know, it's just a little bit different. But I've heard that often, actually, that the national tours are sometimes stronger than the Broadway cast.
It was remarkable. So, now, Ron, again, we're talking with Ron Legler of the Hippodrome, really just spectacular arts and theater destination in Baltimore City. One of the things we say, Ron, to everybody is, well, it's not just for folks in the city. It's a state and regional treasure, the Hippodrome. And we want folks from Baltimore County to Harford County to Anne Arundel County, all to come down to the Hippodrome. When you look at your audiences, are they indeed coming from all around the state, Ron?
Well, actually, 39% come from Baltimore County. So We take a lot of pride in that. We get so many from St. George's County. We get so many on the border, whether you can choose between the Kennedy Center and the Warner Theater or the Hippodrome. We're drawing from all around the state. We're drawing from Pennsylvania as well, and Virginia. So we're really excited. We love the area that we're in. We definitely feel like we're filling a gap in the Broadway tour between Philadelphia and D.C. And, it's a really comfortable place. It's a friendly place. And, unfortunately, right now, it's just a very empty place.
Well, think of the future. Let's think more positively.
Well, we're calling it an intermission, okay? So this is an intermission that's long enough that everyone's going to be able to go to the bathroom.
Well, I just want to go back to my first experience there, which is a couple of weeks ago. First experience at a Broadway show, and it's the first time I've seen a Broadway musical in a number of years. My wife and I have been to New York. We saw Network. You know, I'm really looking forward to Dear Evan Hansen. That's something I'm going to come back and see. Hopefully we get...
Take a box of tissues, Ron, and I'll tell you.
Everybody tells me it's going to be powerful, and I need power sometimes, right? Especially after all this, right? So, and we were in New York about 8 weeks ago. We almost, on a Wednesday, went to see West Side Story in a matinee. We had decided, as everybody does, like, we're going to do something the next time. My dear friend, Mike Flynn, the former center of the Baltimore Ravens, his son just got the lead in Mrs. Doubtfire on Broadway and was ready to, they were all in line. He had the lead in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory about a year and a half, 2 years ago, got the lead, was cast out in Seattle in the touring troupe, and was ready to go to New York and do this. And obviously 3-4 weeks ago, everything got shut down. I just want to say that I was, and I'm not a NASCAR fan, and I went one time, and the one thing that I remember was the color and the speed and the sound, and I never went back. Broadway's not one of those things for me. I mean, I was in My Fair Lady. I compared Jared Kushner to Pippin on Twitter the other day, Ron Legler. So,
I'm living for this conversation.
Yeah, I'm a theater guy, okay?
Corner of the sky, guys.
I got to find, right. Yeah, absolutely. Everything has its reason, everything has time. So, season, time, it's been 40 years. But so the deal for me was when I went, my wife was really excited. She had been bugging me to go, and we almost went to Book of Mormon, but it was just pricey, and we were just sort of like, hey, look, go with a girlfriend. Go with Michelle. Go with Meg. Go, if you really want to go, go. I would rather
honestly, that's the kind of show that I would say, like, men are saying, oh, I don't go to Broadway. You go to Book of Mormon, and you will be definitely changed from that feeling. It is, I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen on any stage or anywhere. Those two, obviously, with South Park. Just the humor is so raw and raunchy and wonderful, and it has such a heart at the end of it. Like, I don't know. To me, it's like everything you want out of a night.
My favorite Book of Mormon, and I don't know if you had the same experience. I said to my wife, we saw it on Broadway, and, you got Elder Price and Elder Cunningham doing their thing up there on stage, and periodically, I don't want to exaggerate it, it wasn't 20, but every 20 or 30 minutes, a couple would get up and leave. And then another 30 or 40 minutes, another couple. And I can remember saying to my wife, did nobody read the review ahead of time?
Yeah, there's 65 million people follow, their cartoon. And I'm like, well, there's an audience built in right there. But interesting enough, I was in Orlando when that show first started touring. And, of course, there's that big number about Orlando in it. And I had the mayor there opening night. But we also had our sponsor, Fairwinds Bank, and the president of Fairwinds is born-again Christian. And I kind of warned him. I was like, I just don't know. And
this is going to be spicy.
I can handle it. I can handle it. And I'm telling you, I sweat through the first 20 minutes of that show thinking he's not going to be able to handle this because it's just, I don't want to give it away. But
Ron, there's a song. There's a song in the show that we can't even...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
Ron,
about.
Ron, there's a point, though, where you could turn and say, I didn't write it. You know what I mean? I'm just sanctioning
that.
It.
I'm thinking, I'm going to lose that sponsor. At the cast party when it was over, I couldn't even go near him, hoping that he wouldn't, like, ask me or say something. So I kind of avoided him the rest of the night.
That's a great story.
Thankfully, he got through it.
Ron, what I wanted to tell you about Wicked was just, I was so... taken aback by the beauty of it. You know, and I guess that's what we're comparing it to NASCAR. When I went to NASCAR, the cars were so colorful and so fast. I had never seen anything like it. And I think there's something about a Broadway show to my eyes. I go to the Super Bowl every year. I see things. I see fireworks. I see color. Going into a theater, the thing that struck me as someone that I probably have seen 25 Broadway shows at the former, the Morris Mechanic Theater for many, many years in the 80s and 90s. Sure. I went to shows there. I saw Cats there and Les Mis and all that stuff, right? Right. But I hadn't been to the Hippodrome, and I live close. I have no excuse other than price and want and doing other things and going to rock concerts and being more of a concert guy than a theater guy when it comes to spending $400 on a Friday night. Just full disclosure, I would be more apt to see Styx or a rock show. That would get me out more, but my wife is more theatery. So I went, and I was just blown away by how beautiful it was. I mean, literally, by what a Broadway show physically looks like. And I was blown away by Network last year up in New York as well, in a small theater, and, you know, with an incredible actor, you know.
Yeah,
but so the beauty of a Broadway show and the costumes and the lights, it is spectacular. It really is.
Well, I want to mention something because you brought it up a couple times about the cost. So our price level to get in is about $45 for an individual to get in. But we have a season subscription package that includes seven shows that starts at $288. So when you break that down, it's about $36, $37 a ticket. So I think it's really important, you know, and part of my job is to be able to connect with all the community. So to make sure that it's affordable and it's not a black tie night. You know, you said you got to get your hair cut. Actually, in the arts, just come as you are. We're just glad.
Well, I'm working
here
on the Mel Kiper look here because it's draft season. My hair's getting large. My hairstylist is out of business.
But you really are trying to bring.
I'm looking a little bit more like Captain Kangaroo than Ron Legler at this point, so I get it.
But
you know, we do want you to know that we are very conscious about price. We want to make sure it's affordable. We do. This last year, we had we do performances for kids. BG&E is such a great partner. We buy out a ninth performance of a show and actually just give it away to kids in the community. So we get 2,200 kids that have never seen theater, never been in a theater, never seen Broadway, and do that. And those are the kind of things that really, that's why I love the industry that I'm in, is because I get to make that kind of effect and change. And hopefully those memories, like it lived in you through My Fair Lady, will live in someone else when they see, you know, they got to see Phantom of the Opera and, you know, all the wonderful shows that we bring. We try to pick one a year. I wish I could do it every single show that comes in, but we can afford to do it once a year, and it's just so impactful to the community and to the kids that you know, kind of keeps us going.
And I love seeing Styx there. I love seeing concerts there. And I like, you know, I've been there for a lot. I love your theater.
Favorite ever. So he wrote a Broadway show. I don't know if you know that, but he wrote The Hunchback of Notre Dame, wrote the music for it. And
there's a lot of that really going on, right? The Rock and Roll Theater, Green Day, and you mentioned Jersey Boys. I mean, for anyone who wasn't into My Fair Lady, you might be into the Billy Joel show. You might be into the Green Day show. You know, there's all of that. And Jimmy Buffett, I mean, modern music has come to Broadway, right?
Yeah. The Temptations and Ain't Too Proud right now. You know, there's just Donna Summer, Cher, like, geez, there's any kind of music.
Meatloaf. Meatloaf's
Motown,
doing anything.
Yeah, any, you know, they're going through all the genres right now, so you can get pretty much anything.
Ron,
it's not what you usually expect.
You've now been in Baltimore, as you said, for 6 years. Is there a moment for you that when you reflect on those 6 years, you look back and, you know, you came from a beautiful place in Orlando, you came to Baltimore. Is there a moment or an event where you just sort of said, wow, this was the right move for me? Is there something that sticks out for you that really said, this is it?
Well, I'll tell you, I have to say, there's so many of those for me personally. One, when I first got here, I was with my real estate agent. We're looking through neighborhoods, and we happen in to this little bar that's in the middle of a block, which is one of my favorite. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, so bars in the middle of the block are just my kind of thing. And I'm like, come on, we got to have a drink if we're going to look for houses. And we walk in, and the bartender's this big, burly, you know, 6'5" guy. My realtor was a little bit older and, you know, a little more dainty. And my partner and I are there, and he's like, gosh, we would just love you guys to move into this neighborhood. This neighborhood could use you guys. Like, And we walked out. My partner goes, you know what, Ron? Nobody in Baltimore gives a shit about who you are or whatever. They right. just want you to be good people and do the right thing. And that was like the first thing that I, you know, there's so much heart in this city. When the uprising happened, we raised money for the community foundation, and our season ticket holders raised like $45,000 in a 1 week run of a Broadway show. It's just that, you know, there's people that want to help, they want to give back. And I've seen it over and over again. Of course, I love my beautiful Hippodrome. I walk through there and just, you know, thinking about Frank Sinatra at 18 years old, his first public paid performance was at the Hippodrome. The rich jazz history that the building has, like just so many stars that have come on
Benny
stage.
Goodman. I mean, Jack,
yeah,
Benny,
I mean, it's just, it's,
Bob Hope is amazing.
I mean, you just go on and on and on about, you know, the history of that. So it's a lot, you know, there's a lot of weight on my shoulders now thinking that my wonderful union crew and my wardrobe people that worked so hard during Wicked, just got dropped off the planet. I mean, there's just, it's nothing. We have hundreds of union workers that depend on the Hippodrome to stay successful. It's a lot, you know. I feel for them every day, and my job now is to continue to postpone and get things to sign back on, working with Live Nation and AEG and some other promoters to do the one-nighters, but I'm really trying to get Broadway to get back to a place where we can have a safe environment. And we were able to move Summer, which was originally scheduled for this April, into August, and we're hoping that by then we're kind of at the new normal of whatever that's going to be, and that we can start to share these experiences together again, because we need it. I mean, it's such a fragile industry, which we all learned how really fragile it is that the minute that we don't have shows is the minute that nobody works. It's been really difficult, but
well,
you can hear it
in your voice, Ron. You can
hear. I have to tell you, it's been the toughest part of my 30-year career. You know, Baltimore has taught me a lot of lessons. I got to tell you, going through, you know, I got up here and there was a hurricane. I'm like, did I really have to bring hurricanes to Baltimore? You know, the uprising and, you know, the things that go on. But this city is tough. You know, you better know what you're talking about when you talk in Baltimore, because they're going to hold you to it. They don't forget. You better be a man of your word or a woman of your word, because they're going to hold you to it. And there's a lot of pride. And I didn't have that in other cities that I lived in. So I have to tell you, I think that's what defines Baltimore for me, is that there's an honesty and a good-spirited heart in the people that live here. And I'm proud to be a part of that and to be one of them.
Ron, I want to tell you, I'm wearing my Baltimore versus everyone shirt, so you're going to love when you see the video part of this. Not only with the Mel Kiper hair, but I did shave for all this. Next week, I'm going to get dressed up around here, look like I'm coming to the theater, look like I'm going to New York. But your background, you know, theater guy and running the theater and sea level and out of town, and not real. A lot of the people we've had on are lifers here in one way or another, and certainly for me, small business owners that have been here forever. We've had a handful of people that have chosen to come here or wound up here through their career. You really chose to come here, and when I started Googling you up, and we have a bunch of mutual people we know, and the people that are from Baltimore, I always had 300-500 LinkedIn friends with them, because we've been here for 30-40 years, like Don and I, and then there's other people in, and I say, here are the people we are connected through, and how are we connected through them, and who they are, and where they come from. The I opted in to come to Baltimore in 2014. That is not a story, other than maybe doctors or people like that wind up here. A lot of us are lifers here. So I want to, and I obviously looked you up and saw the Pulse background and the theater background in Orlando, and my son, full disclosure, he and his wife are full Disney folks. They spend as much time in Orlando as they possibly can. It's a place people go to Orlando to never leave. You know, to come to Baltimore, I need to hear your story. And obviously there's a Pulse thing that I can Google and find out about. But having you on the program, the part of the hard news in the PR is right in the middle of, hey, we're all real people with a real background, and we've all had adversity. Boy, you had a phone call that, you know, being involved in things during your period of time here, that is just it's a story I quite frankly didn't piece together, and I know you're comfortable talking about it, which is why I'm bringing it to the forefront.
Yeah, sure. You know, when I left in 2014, obviously gave up. I was a co-founder. I originated the ideas of Pulse and what it was going to be, and who it would attract, and really wanting like a Will and Grace type place. I mean, back in the old days, gay bars were in seedy places and basements, and you know, you didn't really hear from or whatever. I wanted something that was open and honest and just out there, that you could be proud to bring your mother, grandmother, or family into at any time. And you know, I don't know why I all of a sudden, you know, I was Downtowner of the Year, and all of a sudden the next year my Orlando had sort of run its course for me. I was ready to become a president of Performing Arts Center. I had the opportunity in Baltimore, and I jumped on it immediately. And now, looking back, you know, I was away from Orlando for a couple years when Pulse happened. And I, you know, I might have been in there on that Saturday at 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. which I usually was. Like, you know, the universe sometimes pulls you into the direction where you're supposed to go. And you know, it was very difficult to not be with my community, but it was also very wonderful that the community that accepted me. And again, you have to earn your spot in Baltimore. It's not just given. I can tell you that. I had people tell me like, come back in 10 years when you really lived here. And I respect that. I do.
Well, you're getting there now.
Oh yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm there now. I've gone through enough with this city that I feel like I'm there. We've gone through four mayors in 5 years. I'm ready. I mean, I'm part of it.
You and me both, man. That's why we do this thing called Baltimore Positive.
Ron, yeah, Ron, China,
I'm in. I'm 100% in. So Baltimore was amazing for me. And, you know, I now, after having such tragedy happen in my life, I always think to myself, you know, there's a lot of things that could be worse. And staying at home, keeping people safe, having an audience to come back to, is very important for us. We're a big building. We want to, you know, when crime got more, people started getting worried about downtown, we put magnetometers in, we put cameras in, we put all kinds of safety measures in. We have a full security team in for every Broadway show that comes in, protocols put in place. And now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to think about, what does it mean to be cleanly? We're going to look at toilets that automatically flush and hands, you know, sanitizers everywhere, and you know, fogging the building down to make sure that it's safe for when audiences come. So every time the world hits us with something, we've got to be ready to respond and do that in a way that makes people feel safe, as safe
Ron,
as we can make them.
Tell if you can, I'm just listening, and I'm trying to imagine your reaction to when you heard the news about the horrific shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Reach out for us. How did you hear? How were you notified of the shooting? When did you learn of the shooting? And what is
so? I actually started receiving text messages from people that were in the building at 2:03. So I just was like, I didn't know what was going on. And then I received word from the city itself. I was very close to the mayor and chief of staff and some of the major city people at that time. My partner Barbara Poma was in Cancun with her daughter who graduated from high school, and her husband, Rosario, my other partner, was in South Florida. His son was at a lacrosse tournament. So they were, neither one of them were in the city itself. And we just started watching it unfold, and I kept getting communications with the city, and you know, it just kept unfolding on TV. It was kind of a, you know, your brain, I think, just kicks in and kind of everything felt like a dream. I all of a sudden was in Orlando. I barely remember how we even got there. You know, just kind of something that you can't think about. And, you know, that place was a decrepit building that we brought back from, you know, kind of like the Hippodrome, we brought back from the dead and became such a viable part of the community. It was a place where all the politicians came to meet the LGBT community in a safe environment and to talk about their policies. And we had so many wonderful happy hours. And for Broadway, we used to do all the cast parties there for 10 years. I mean, every time the show opened on a Tuesday, we would do the cast party at Pulse. We had weddings there. We had birthday parties for the cast. It really was a part of the Broadway community in Orlando. Because, you know, all the shows came through and it was just easy because I could say yes, where a lot of places would say, no, we're not throwing you a party for 150 people on a Tuesday night at 11:30. You know, it's part of who I am now. It's like an invasion of your living room. Like you think about when we rebuilt it, every single light switch, every single outlet, I knew that building inside and out. And it with all the safety measures we had in place and everything, like you just, you can never prepare for the kind of things that might happen in the world. And you have to live beyond them. Like, we have to think about the 49 people who died and the 53 people who are still alive that were, you know, mentally damaged and physically damaged through that process. But we got to keep living. We got to keep looking to the future. We got to keep trying to make the world a better place.
We've got to be better, right, Ron? Yeah. I mean, that's,
we got to be better.
I listened to you talk. We've got to be better. And speaking of being better, let's just shift before, and you've been very gracious with your time, before we jump out of here. Let's talk Baltimore Positive here. What excites you about the new season, and what should people be ready to come and see when we're freed from this thing and we can go out?
Donna Summer.
Yeah. Well, first I want to say what excites me is what's going on in the city. Everyone likes to, you know, poop on Baltimore, but I'm going to tell you, I very rarely will you ever find a city where you can walk downtown and get to a world-class casino, two world-class stadiums, a world-class arena that does amazing music events. You know, as small as it is, it's one of the most successful in the United States. A Broadway house, a Shakespeare house, regional theater like Everyman and Center Stage. Very rarely can you walk in a city and go 10 blocks and find all those wonderful things. So we are a city on the water. We're a harbor city. We're a great American city. My money's on Baltimore. I'm going to tell you that once we figure this out, maybe whatever that is with the leadership or whatever, but when we get there, this is going to be one of the most fantastic. It is one of the most fantastic cities, but it's going to only get better. And we're going to be there for that. If you look around and see the cranes that are swinging on the west side, thanks to the University of Maryland Hospital System, and thanks to all the partners and the new Lexington Market that's coming, there's a couple $100 billion worth of construction that's going to happen on between Howard and Park and Lexington. There's that whole super block is now a construction project. That is going to be a very exciting place for the city, an authentic place, not just built from a place that was nothing, but keeping the community at heart and at mind. And I got to tell you, the West Side is going to make a transformation, and we're going to be right in the heart of it. We've
that
been
is,
there,
that
like
is
I said.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we do our shows down at Fadley's all the time.
Another 106. Yeah.
Yeah, we're always a block away, and you know, I spent plenty of time on that block over the last year, coming to your theater and Dear Evan Hansen. These things that are, have gotten shifted around a little bit. I'm looking at the calendar, and Donna Summer, by the way, has been on this program. So you know, back in her day, she was on at the All Star Game in 1999. So I love me some Donna Summer and some hot stuff. Miss Saigon, these other shows that I see on the calendar. What can be said about pliability in whatever way to move your calendar around? And I know there's nothing you can give away because, as Dr. Fauci says, the virus is going to make the rules and all of this stuff. But
yes.
But what is your
understanding
on all this?
It's really an hour-by-hour situation, looking at everything. You know, we're part of a big, big network with Broadway Across America, who owns Broadway.com. We put some wonderful stuff out there. They did the Rosie O'Donnell show real quick and raised $700,000 for Equity Fights AIDS and for the Actors Fund. So they've been doing some really wonderful things. I think the most exciting thing for me in Baltimore is that we're going to have the national tour of Hairspray open in our city. Why wouldn't it open in Baltimore? But I'm really hoping that everything can get back to some type of normal. We'll have just gone through the election, and we'll have Hairspray in Baltimore, which where it belongs. So I'm really looking forward to that. We did get a 9th performance for students on that one. So we're going to bring a bunch of kids into the theater. And I would invite you both to come by. It's the best day you'll ever have in the city, hearing the roars and laughter of kids that have never been in a theater before. They hang on every word. It's just so exciting. But I think Hairspray is going to be my highlight. But obviously getting Hamilton back is a big coup for us. We're going to need it. I think all these theaters, everyone you're going to be talking to in the arts are going to tell you that it's going to be new. It's going to be very different. It's a different, you know, when they're saying that when Broadway reopens, 50% of the Broadway houses might not have a show opening in it. For the first time in years. I mean, there's been a backlog of shows waiting to get to Broadway. So, you know, we're just going to roll with it. We're going to bring you the best shows we can when we can. And the ones that we don't get, we'll hope to rebook them for next season. But we're going to continue to do what we do. We offer an escape. We offer an experience that's second to none. And we're going to always continue to do that. And we're going to always look out for our patrons and our customers and our city.
Well, if Hairspray's coming in, maybe I can get John Waters on the show. He's on my bucket list. He's one of the few guys I've never interviewed. I got to get John Waters on to promote Hairspray. What do you think?
Well, he'll be hanging down at the Hippodrome when they're doing the getting ready for the to open. So I'm sure we can try to work something out with you guys.
If I sing "Good Morning Baltimore" or something, can you let me on?
He's crazy.
Have you not seen Hairspray?
I've not seen Hairspray.
Okay, Ron, is it safe to say? Am I going out on a limb if I were to say to Nestor and to our listeners out there in the car that Hairspray may have one of the best opening numbers in all of Broadway musicals? Is that a stretch?
No, actually, it's been sort of my motivation. Like, I play it as soon as I wake up now, thinking, okay, this is how I got to start my day. And it really is a very uplifting thing for me. And I'm just super excited. And, the other good thing I want to tell you, too, is that we're bringing To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's my wife's favorite. Network. Hold on. When is this?
Yeah. It is scheduled right now for March 30th to April 4th, the same time period we're in right now. But I'm going to tell you something. This is we don't usually bring plays to the markets. This is just one of the most incredible pieces of work that I've seen. I've been doing Broadway. I've been a Tony voter for 20 years now. It's one of the most incredible pieces of theater you'll ever see. So we're really excited to bring that. It plays like it could just be in today's headline, honestly. So I'm really, really excited. Obviously, Pretty Woman, Ain't Too Proud, Mean Girls, we've been dying to get it for a long time. It's funny because their tagline is, "You can't sit with us," and now they really can't sit with anybody.
Going back to Mockingbird, Ron, you said that we were fortunate enough to see it with Jeff Daniels on Broadway. And seems to me that Aaron Sorkin really outdid himself. I mean, Western fame and everything else, but what he did with Mockingbird to preserve the original and yet bring it up to date was just at another level.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't speak after that was over. Like, we were just walking like zombies. I was like, what just happened to me? I mean, it's that kind of transformation that you get, when you, you're in this dark room with just people and you take this journey together. And, man, I'm just so ready to have those journeys again. I'm ready to be in a room with our community and to share stories. And it's who we are as a city. We're a city of storytellers and stoop stories and all these wonderful things. And I just, I've been sitting here for 23 days. We've been kind of on lockdown in our house, going crazy. And I just think how fortunate we were to have all those chances to connect, but how much more gratitude I'm going to have when we get to do it again.
We can't wait.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron, give us an update if there is one. And I should know where this is and just don't. You were very excited when we talked, 2 years ago, about a potential renovation of the north end of the building. What's the status of that project?
So the M&T Bank Pavilion, this was the old Utah Savings Bank. So this was after the big fire in 1904. This became like the mortgage bank of Baltimore. It was the only bank, one of the only banks left. Next to the national bank that was next to that. But we just got another $1 million from the state, which made our total 10.1. We were announcing that we were going to start construction in the fall of this year. We had a lot of people giving us money. I don't know where that money stands at this point. So once everything calms down and settles down, it's a $12 million project. So we were very, very close to getting that done. And this is going to be one of the state-of-the-art facilities in the country. It's going to have more technology than a lot of little, these performing arts centers are building these kind of places now when they're doing them brand new because they're so valuable to the community. And it's a chance for us to always say yes to projects instead of saying, I'm sorry, the Hippodrome's too expensive, it's too large, it's beyond your budget. This is a chance for us to say, let's go try to experiment together. Let's tell different stories. They're not Broadway stories, but they're local stories. They're other stories. And I'm saddened by it because, the world right now is upside down. So we don't know if all the funding is going to stay true. But I'm not going to give up. I never give up. And we're going to hit right back at it when we can. We're going to try to find opportunities to raise the rest of that money. I know our season ticket holders are excited. I'm actually shooting a little video series. I'm going to go in there and show what we've done. We did a historical demolition, which allowed us to see what the original walls were and to see what was underneath all of that plywood that they had put up in the 80s. And it's just such a gorgeous building. It's really impactful, and I think it's going to be a really fun project. But right now, with so many other projects, it's up in the air.
Well, good luck with that. And Ron, appreciate thanks for visiting with us. It's been terrific. We love the Hippodrome. We're positive about Baltimore. You're a little sad right now, but as you said, you wake up every morning shouting, "Good morning, Baltimore." A better day is around the corner, Ron. So I'm
yeah, and like I said, it's just intermission. We're going to come back bigger and better than ever. We've got a great lineup so far. Nothing has touched our 2021 season. We have people that are we renewed at 80%, which is about 15% above the national average.
Wow!
So our patrons love us. We already have 1,000 new subscribers that signed up even during this pandemic. They were online signing up for what's going to be the future in the fall. So we're super excited, and we're very thankful that we have such loyal patrons and people that care about the arts there in this community.
Well, so I learned a lot.
Still available, Ron? Subscriptions still available?
Yes, they are. We're still in our drive for new subscribers. We're right around 11,000 right now, but we're hoping to get to 12,000, and which will put us in great shape for the future. And like I said, subscriptions start at $288 for 7 shows, which is, you know, kind of can fit into a lot of budgets. We also have payment plans right now because we understand that money is short right now and everyone's going through a lot of stressful times. So we've broken up the payments into 4 payment plans. We're very flexible. We just want to see you back in the theater and make sure that your seat's going to be yours. So it's important to us.
Well, Mohler will be singing the lullaby of Broadway. I'll be comparing Jared Kushner to Pippin, amongst other things. And my wife will be bringing me down to see To Kill a Mockingbird. And dear Evan Hansen, I got to get there, and everybody tells me to bring the tissues. So we got things
more
ahead.
One box won't.
Oh, yeah. It is, again, that's another one that just sends you to another place. And it's going to be needed. I mean, you know, we're going to need some hairspray in our life in November. I can tell you that for sure.
Ron Legler, see
you. Hey, Nestor, hold on before you take us out of here. I will tell you, and I know Ron will agree with this. So when we saw Evan Hansen, it goes to intermission. And literally, you know, my wife's a pretty unemotional person. She turns to me and goes, "I just need to go find a room 15 minutes where I can cry all to myself, and then I'll be okay."
Yeah, I mean, it's,
well, you're really making me look forward to it.
Yeah, it's hard to blubber in your seat when you're so close to other people you don't know. But I got to tell you, that was a very, very hard one to get through. It's really.
You're amazed the actors aren't crying, right?
so very worth it. I got to say, very worth it.
Ron, appreciate you. Ron Legler is the president of the Frantz Marek Performing Arts Center. You call it the Hippodrome. I call it in my neighborhood. I appreciate you spending time with Mohler and I, despite the fact that we didn't like Wicked. So you sing Good Morning Baltimore. We're not going to sing any of the Wicked songs, all right?
All right, we got it. Thank you guys so much. Take care of yourselves and stay safe.
All right, Ron Legler joining us here. Oh, absolutely, over at the Hippodrome in the Frantz Marek Performing Arts Center. We are featuring all the arts this week. Big assist to Fran DeCohen for helping us out with that. Of course, our friends at State Fair with chicken and waffles that I am missing, and that special raspberry sauce that they put on it over there, and the shrimp and grits and all the good stuff. Maybe some meatloaf. Maybe Evan Brown will get me meatloaf. Just a thought. State Fair in Catonsville. Stop by. Curbside still happening. Fadley's still delivering the crab cakes. Don Mohler is getting them delivered, but he's not sharing. He said it's because of social distancing. I just think it's because he wanted the crab cakes himself. So if you want them, you have to order them yourself. You can do that from Fadley's. They're shut down at Lexington Market. It's terrible. I'm talking about all my sponsors that are shut down right now. And tell you about the ones that are open. Please support everyone out there. Mohler and Gary Realty and Jeff Mohler told us his story. That's out in the buyatoyota.com audio vault as well. Lots of great stories about the arts, keeping it alive around here. COVID-19 is only going to shut us down temporarily. We're going to come back. It's Baltimore versus everyone. We are WNST.net. Keep it calm, staying local, and always staying Baltimore positive.